All right. Good morning, Olivia, or good afternoon. It's noon now. Well, first of all, thank you so much for joining me for this interview today. I really appreciate it. I do want you to know before we get started that this interview is meant to be entirely yours and to share your story and your experience with K-12 education throughout the COVID pandemic. So while I'll be asking the questions, you're not going to see much of a reaction from me or anything like that. And it's not that I'm not interested, it's just that I want to make sure that you're giving the most natural reaction that you can. Does that sound okay? Perfect. All right. So, Olivia, we're going to get started with some background questions surrounding kind of COVID and who you are and what you do. So, we'll just get started with what is your occupation?
I am a special education teacher.
Okay. And in what city are you located in? Where do you work?
I live in Boise, Idaho, and I work in Nampa, Idaho.
Okay. So what do your day-to-day activities look like?
Well, currently doesn't involve much, but normally, I enjoy really getting outside, being in nature, going on runs, bike rides, just being active in general, meeting friends downtown, going, having dinner with them and getting a drink or something like that. So, just normal activities like that, I guess.
Okay. In what ways are you connected to K-12 education?
So I teach at a middle school. So I obviously I teach 6th, 7th, and 8th graders as my job.
Okay. What content do you teach?
Special education language arts.
Okay, perfect. So what were your initial thoughts when you started hearing about COVID-19?
My initial thought was this is not going to be a huge deal. I remember hearing about it being, reported in China and getting really bad. And my first thought was kind of, oh, there have been epidemics before, and nothing really serious has come out of it. Thinking back to like H1N1 or even, like Ebola, which never reached the US, but thinking about those associations that I had with disease, I guess, and not thinking that anything like this could have come out of it.
Okay. How have your thoughts on COVID-19 changed since you were initially made aware of it?
I definitely have taken it more seriously since first hearing about it. As cases have gone up, I feel like it's been, talked about a lot more, and people as a whole are taking it more seriously. So definitely have changed, not really my stance so much as changed my behavior, I guess, and how I go about my life differently.
How was your daily life impacted by COVID?
Teaching for one, I mean, going from working in a school to going to working at home and not being able to see students or coworkers on a daily basis. And then just other smaller things as well, not being able to go out to eat or to the gym or shopping when I feel like it, so just things you normally would take for granted are not feasible.
Okay. So we're going to move on to our next set of questions, kind of looking at the local response to the pandemic. So first of all, how is your employment status impacted by COVID-19?
Well, thankfully, I'm still employed. I was not laid off. But as I was talking about before, going from working in a school to working at home definitely changes the game in terms of education and how you can reach kids. So no change in employment status, just the physical location.
Okay. How did your school district react to the pandemic?
Our district, I feel like, responded pretty quickly in terms of closing schools. When cases started being reported in Idaho, I think it was a few days afterwards that they decided to close schools in the district. So I think they responded pretty quickly, and we were wholly online for the rest of the year. And now they're, you know, in discussions about how to bring students back in the fall.
How did your state leadership react to the pandemic?
I think it's kind of interesting for Idaho because they were very quick to shut things down and to go into kind of this, you know, state of emergency feeling kind of shutdown of everything. But then we opened really early and that's caused a lot of cases to spike around the state. So, I mean, Idaho was one of the last states to get hit with cases of COVID-19, and we were not one of the places that was hit really hard back in the spring when, you know, cases in New York were really high and in other parts of the country. But currently it feels like we're really slow to react now that we are getting hit with more cases.
Okay. So let's move into distance learning a little bit and talk about that. So how did your district or your school specifically respond to the move to distance learning?
Yeah, I feel like our district responded better than most because we are a one-to-one district, and that made the move to distance learning significantly easier just with kids having access to computers already that they normally take home with them. And then them being familiar with platforms that we normally use in classrooms, like Microsoft Teams, they know how to access their email. They know how to, you know, get onto the student portal to use different platforms. So in that sense, it was easy. It was difficult though, especially for special ed, to reach kids and give them the support that they needed, especially when those kids were not, you know, showing up. So I feel that the district and my school as a whole was not super prepared for that reality. And I think it probably would have been impossible to be prepared for that. But that was the kind of just the response that had to happen.
So can you explain what distance learning looked like for you and for your students? I know you have a smaller population that you work with closely.
Yeah, so distance learning looked a little bit different just because I have one resource class. So that's like a self-contained, you know, classroom of just special ed students. So planning curriculum for them online, but then also all of the other students that I provide services for are in co-taught classes. So it was difficult to find kind of the right balance. You know, obviously it's difficult to co-teach when you're online, just for the reason that you're not there with the other teacher. They have their own curriculum, you know, planned out already. So that looked like a lot of support for kids overall. And then for my resource class, I think I started out really overestimating what was going to be possible online for the kids who were showing up every day. And so I had to scale way, way back on just the assignments that I was expecting them to complete. And, you know, moving from lessons that were broken into, you know, three or four different steps within that lesson to one or two small steps within the same lesson.
Okay. Can you tell me about some successes of distance learning?
I think one success was the kids that I did communicate with. I think it really helped them to know that there was a teacher on the other side of the screen who was interfacing with them, and kids who, you know, came to virtual office hours and you know, we got to talk face to face. I think that was really helpful for those kids. And then additionally, I think at our school, we overall did a really good job, I think, of sticking to a set of platforms that we were using for kids, and how we were communicating with kids was all very aligned. So I feel like that was also successful.
Okay. Were there any drawbacks with distance learning at all?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, you know, it was great when you did see kids that you could talk to, but there were many kids who I didn't talk to at all, who I never saw log on maybe a couple times the first few weeks. And we obviously, you know, reported that, and the school then got in contact with them through their parents or something like that. But that didn't really resolve the issue of them showing up and doing assignments or even showing up just to check in with teachers. I would try and send, you know, messages to check in every day to students and in just like the groups that they were in for each class. And some kids responded, but some kids never responded. So definitely a drawback, not being able to know what's going on with your students, and difficult, I think, for teachers to understand why students aren't doing the work. There's obviously a lot that maybe is going on at home for them, that we just don't get to, we don't see that normally, but we're not seeing that at all now, being, you know, not able to have a conversation with them. So the communication was really, really difficult, you know, going online wholly.
Okay. Tell me about what it's like to work from home.
Well, for me, I feel like it's easier than most. I don't have children or anything like that, that I need to be kind of splitting my attention between. So definitely not my favorite thing still. It feels dull to me and I don't enjoy it. But there definitely were no significant barriers. So I'm thankful for that.
Okay. So let's talk about moving forward. Looking at your fall semester, what does your fall semester look like?
Well, we don't really know yet, but currently they're evaluating how we can do a hybrid model in all of the schools in the district. So meaning half of the students would come 2 days of the week and the other half of students would come the other 2 days of the week. Wednesday would be an online day. And so that is interesting, hearing those discussions, because there are a lot of factors that go into making that possible, especially being in Idaho where their cases are still rising. And, you know, we're getting over 500 new cases a day currently right now. And yeah, so that's been interesting to hear those discussions, just because I don't think the district really knows what it will look like either at this point. The school year still being over 4 weeks away. Talking about, should we push the start date back? Some people are calling for the school year to just be fully online. Or at least the fall to be fully online so that cases have a chance to improve. So everything is very up in the air right now. There is no really assurance that that hybrid model is what it's going to look like. It could, of course, all change depending on what the cases look like in a few weeks.
Okay. If the choice were yours to make, what would the fall semester look like?
Well, if we continue the current trend that we're on in our county, where I work, I would not feel super safe going back to school with 400 kids in the building. You know, even at that halfway mark, our school normally has around 800 kids. They would be bringing back 400, for that hybrid model. So, that's kind of a scary prospect, especially having just taught summer school. We had in person, you know, we were managing 50 kids, who were required to wear masks and socially distance in classrooms and sanitize. And doing that with 50 kids was really difficult. So I am not super confident about what that would look like for 400 kids. You know, even, you know, if having 100, 150 on each grade show up a day, I think would be really, really difficult. So if it's at that point, with the cases, and it's difficult to want to say that I would want to go back in the fall. I would much prefer to see an online start to the year if that's the case. And purely for the other reason of bringing kids back to schools will just accelerate this in our communities. We saw in summer school throughout the district, there were cases that popped up, and those were dealt with. There was never a serious risk, but that's going to happen a lot throughout the school year. So that's just kind of a taste of what's to come with kids going back to school in the fall. So at this point, if it continues, if cases continue like this and don't get better, I think it would be the right decision for schools to start online.
Okay. So you mentioned teaching summer school. Can you tell me a little bit more about what that looked like, what the procedures were, how that worked?
Yeah. So our summer school program, we had five teachers and about 50 kids rotating through those classes in kind of pods. So the groups were anywhere from, I think, about 7 to 12 or 13 kids in a group together. So they remained in those groups all day, and they just rotated to different classes. And in each class, they got hand sanitizer as they came in the door. They were sat 6 feet apart, and they were required to wear masks as of the middle of the second week of summer school. The district started by strongly recommending kids wear masks to summer school, and the compliance rate was very close to zero at most of the schools. And so the district moved to requiring masks starting on Wednesday of the second week. And so for the rest of that second week and the last week, the third week, kids were required to wear masks. And then at the end of class, students all got a wipe to sanitize all of their materials, anything that they touched, any shared materials, their desk, the keyboard in front of them, computer, all of it. And then they got hand sanitizer as they left, and each group was dismissed separately to go straight to their next class. So there weren't any passing periods. There were no breaks where students could go, you know, get a snack. We did not have lunch built in or breakfast built into the schedule, so students grabbed their lunch and their breakfast on the way home from summer school. It ended at around 12:30, so they took that lunch home, got their breakfast for the next morning, and I think that really, all of these procedures, some of them are doable for the regular school year, like hand sanitizer, and even for many classrooms, you know, pushing the desks 6 feet apart is doable. But other procedures, like having kids take lunch home with them instead of eating in the cafeteria, that will not be possible. So we've given feedback on how that went in summer school, and the district is kind of taking that feedback and working to improve their plans for the fall based on how those procedures went in summer school and how kids and teachers responded to them.
Okay. So your last question then, more still just looking forward into the fall and the spring and even beyond. Do you anticipate any changes coming to the education system or to your school? If so, what kind of changes, like big, broad, little things?
Well, I definitely think that and this is not just in Idaho specifically, but nationwide, I think there's going to be a lot of discussions about how teachers are compensated and, you know, how school districts deal with having teachers go to a potentially unsafe work environment every day, because teachers want to show up for students, but I think if they feel unsafe, that will be a huge, huge discussion that will have to be had and is already being had. I mean, in Florida, they sued, teachers union sued the state of Florida for opening schools early purely because of that law that, you know, schools have to keep teachers and students safe. And you're not doing that if there is an infectious disease going around. So I predict that there may even be a teacher strike. It wouldn't surprise me. And hopefully what would come out of that is better treatment and compensation for teachers as a whole, who are on the front lines of this now as schools are opening, you know, back up. So I think there are a lot of teachers and staff who want to be treated differently because of that risk that they're taking for themselves and their families.
Awesome. Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate your input on all of this. And thanks for going to work every day with our kids.
Thank you.